This week is not just the final stretch of the 2026 legislative session. It also happens to be Teacher Appreciation Week, and both are actually connected because we know education investment was a huge sticking point for lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. And I thought it was a good time to check in with one of our education experts, not just in the state of Connecticut, but here on this show, to talk about what it's like to be a teacher in 2026 and what, if anything, past that is good for teachers, could be troublesome for teachers. What do we still need to do to improve being an educator in Connecticut? And for that, we go to Fran Rabinowitz. And Fran, welcome back. And also, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. I appreciate the teachers of Connecticut and of the nation. Honestly, I was reflecting back when you asked me to be on the show. I was reflecting back on Teacher Appreciation Week when I was a teacher all through administration, et cetera, and how we tried to visibly thank our teachers. It was never enough, but every superintendent knows you're only as good as your team, and that's your teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, and by the way, Fran has, as she mentioned, she's been in education for many years, now serving as the executive director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents, and somebody who comes on the show really whenever we have education related stories in our state. Fran weighs in, and we so appreciate her insight. I want to know from this session, Fran, what did you find were big takeaways, big wins for teachers? Were there any?
Well, and indirectly, but also I think it makes a difference to have funding increased. And funding was increased this session for education, $170 million. We're used to getting about $50 million, and $170 was sorely needed. And, you know, needed certainly in Bridgeport, but across the state. And we were seeing teachers being laid off. We were seeing teachers receive larger class sizes, bigger caseloads. And I'm hopeful that this funding will assist. The thing that I worry about is it's outside of the education cost sharing. So it is a one-time thing. And so I just hope that... You know, I don't like one and done. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean, Fran. I mean, it's interesting. You have connections to Bridgeport. Yeah, you have connections to Bridgeport. And it's interesting because I was reading, you know, so Bridgeport's getting $25 million. Great. Love it. I have no issue with that. You know, $15 million of it going to the schools, $10 million going to the city. Great. Fine. But what's interesting is when I was reading the breakdown from Mayor Ganim, some of the big wins, you know, in that education aid, they said we're going to be able to increase our funding for the school buses. Now, what's interesting is at the beginning of this school year, we almost didn't have school buses. If you remember correctly, right. Bridgeport had to broker a deal and say, hey, how do we figure out getting at least some of the buses on the roads? So great. We're going to have them next year. What about the year after? You know what I mean?
What about the year after?
What are we going to do? Do we learn nothing from COVID? I just don't understand. We learned nothing from COVID. The fact that that federal money ran out and then all of a sudden every single school district in Connecticut, small to large cuts, all had to happen. People getting laid off, programs disappearing. ECS wasn't touched.
ECS was not touched. Now, the governor did form a funding commission and,
you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I know, but I do look, Melissa, at the Blue Ribbon Commission for Early Childhood, and there was $300 million that was put into a trust for early childhood as a result. So my thing is this better be the same kind of commission? It just better be a commission that doesn't debate, and, you know, we know funding is needed. We're 44th in the nation for state contribution to funding. We're, you know, third, I think, in the nation for what we spend, but much of what we spend is from property taxes. And that's why you have the greatest inequity that you have in Connecticut. So indirectly, I think that's a win for teachers. I think there'll be some other things coming down as a result of not a whole lot of money, but money given to the State Department of Education for aspiring teachers, for new teachers. I think you'll see some things in there. But it's not nearly enough. You know, I continue to say I'm like a broken record. Yes, it is more money and higher salaries, especially in some of our districts. But it's also working conditions. And we have to be cognizant of that. You know, when I was superintendent in Bridgeport, teachers left. And, you know, they left, many teachers left. And they would say to me, Fran, you don't have the infrastructure for me to be successful. And I had to agree with them. I didn't have the money to provide what these teachers needed, smaller class sizes, aides, people to do intervention with them, et cetera. So we have a long way to go, but I think we are beginning to make some kind of progress. And I'm still hopeful, Melissa, that this commission will turn into something like the Blue Ribbon Commission.
I would love that, too. You know me. I love optimism. I like a glass more than half full. I do.
I guess it's
what was really, I think, and you hit the nail on the head, Fran. I think what bothered me is, and I get it, it's a short session. I get it. The budget was the big thing. I got it. But when you have what, I think it was not even 2 days into the session, when you have superintendents from across Connecticut, you've got Joe DeLong of CCM representing 169 municipalities. When you have people overwhelmingly mayors and first selectmen all going up to Hartford saying, here's the answer. We have to do some serious work on the ECS formula. We haven't touched it since 2013. You know, the governor came on my show and said that that wasn't true. He says that he has consecutively fixed it the last 7 years.
No.
I know.
The foundation has not been changed. Yeah. Since 2013, they might have added ELs in there, but the formula needs, the foundation has to be raised.
Oh, yeah,
it has to be.
I'm aware, Fran. I'm totally aware. I'm being a little cheeky right now. But yeah, I was told that it has been changed and it hasn't. And I that is what I think was most concerning to me was this. I understand that we needed fixes and we needed them now. And I'm not grateful for them, but I think when you're just, you think you sound like a broken record. I'm a broken record. When you're going to put a Band-Aid on something that needs surgery, I'm not impressed. And I just think that needed to be the priority to bring down property taxes. We're, 44th in the nation?
For contribution to education.
Contribution to education. Wow.
From the state level. That is in the latest NEA statistical reports across the nation. I was, to be quite frank with you, I was shocked. But it explained to me why I see and have experienced in my entire career so much inequity in Connecticut, you know, from just border to border. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful. I mean, I believe that the governor, in putting forward this commission, I think he does intend to change it. I think, you know, and that ECS formula, it just needs so much work.
It does.
And, you know, there's, you know, so I would say that the infusion of cash is great. But it's got to be, you've got to sustain it. You're always asking me. I mean, people are always asking me, well, how are you going to sustain that? And I'm asking them, how will you sustain this for teachers? You know, I'll just say this as an aside. You know, when I was in Bridgeport, I fought hard. I got grants. But grants are a double-edged sword. So you get a grant. You have this wonderful program. You have all this intervention for children for 2 or 3 years, and then the grant goes away, and so does everything else. And you know, and I think that's why you see a lack of continuity many times. That is very frustrating to our wonderful teachers. It really truly is, because You know, and especially in our most challenged districts, because we go for grants all the time in order to, you know, pick up the shortfalls.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We're chatting with Fran Rabinowitz, who is the executive director for the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. It is Teacher Appreciation Week. And Fran, I'm really glad you brought up the group that was put together and will start to put recommendations together, I believe, in January of next year. I think.
Yes,
that's what I thought.
I think so.
One of the reasons the governor highlighted this, and I don't totally disagree with him because I've even heard this in my own district, is overhead costs and specifically administrators. So you've got top heavy offices, for example. And so then by the time you get down to the teacher level, the special educators, the paraprofessionals, you know, the backbones, if you will, of your schools, we don't have the money to invest in them or to, you know, give raises or to, you know, give the benefits properly. When you hear that we're top heavy, I mean, could you kind of give us an idea of if you were to let an administrator go, for example, and free up, I don't even know how much money, I guess it would depend on town and city, but, you know, free up money. I mean, is that a simple solution that more districts should look at? Have we become too complacent, too comfortable with having more administrators? I don't know. I mean, like I said, you've kind of gone up the ranking. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, and remember that I do come from an urban background, and so I would say to you, I have argued this point with the governor many times because it's usually about Bridgeport, to be honest with you, but I'm always fighting for more dollars for Bridgeport because it's woefully underfunded, woefully, even more than Hartford and New Haven. And what?
Which is funny that Hartford got more money, but go on. Sorry, I get so mad about that.
But we are terribly underfunded. And, you know, I've been told there are reasons for that. We don't come in looking as poor because we have an enclave. But I have to say, we are underfunded. And the governor will always say to me, well, it's bloated central offices. You've got too many people there. And I can't begin to tell you. I mean, maybe there are in some school districts. I don't know. I don't know of any, but maybe there are. But there were not in my experience in Bridgeport or in Hamden. I was streamlined. You know, I had a superintendent, an assistant superintendent, someone in charge of special ed, someone as a CFO. I won't argue that the previous superintendent in Bridgeport brought in many, many, many administrators. And she
with COVID money. Totally. Yes.
Yes. And I'm very sorry that she did not have the foresight to see, because I kept reading about these new people coming in. And I kept thinking, where is she getting this money? Because it never dawned on me that you would put them in and not be able to sustain it. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't think it was the right way to spend the money. So he does have a point that sometimes that happens, but, you know, she didn't last. She didn't stay. And I honestly think, to be very frank with you, and I'm being frank these days, it's a cop-out. That's a cop-out to just say, well, we'd have more money if we weren't so top-heavy. I've been hearing that for my whole career.
Well, what I think is kind of funny, Fran, you and I connect on this all the time because we both have connections to special education, is, you can't ignore the fact that Stanford is constantly needing more money because they are one of the highest amount of kids being sent out of the district for services. I mean, what to me is so blatantly obvious, and this came up last session too, was the insane amount of underfunding for special education. And yet the amount of kids who need special ed or need help in the classroom has gone up insane amounts of kids. And yet we don't address that. You know?
We're not addressing it. And Melissa, when I started, I said to you, people left because they didn't have the working conditions. And part of that is so related to special ed.
Totally.
We don't have a continuum of services for kids. Our special ed numbers have increased in the last decade and a half by 53%. And I honestly think I'm working on a very big report that's going to come out on special ed, but I absolutely believe that it's because we don't have a continuum of services for these kids going through, and we don't have it because we don't have the funding. And
right.
I'm not saying there aren't places that, maybe have too many central office people. I don't know of them, but maybe there are. But that is not the reason that we have working conditions that are unacceptable.
Well, and maybe this new commission can outline that. And now we don't have to talk so off the cuff. And it's like, well, no, this is really what's going on here. And so certainly hoping for a bright future with that. And hoping, and I'm hoping Connecticut teachers stick around because we need them. We need them, and we do appreciate them.
They're the foundation. They're the backbone. They're everything. And I think one of the things that I hope to do this year, I didn't get the funding for it from the legislature, although it's not over till it's over. But I think we need to do a strong marketing campaign because, yes, there's stress. Yes, there's burnout. But there's a heck of a lot of joy in the profession, in the impact that teachers have. And we've got to start telling the public about that,
mm-hmm.
How they impact your kids every single day. They're with them 6, 7 hours, 8 hours a day. They are having positive impact. And for teachers themselves to feel good about developing the citizens of tomorrow. I know that sounds like corny maybe, but I'm telling you, it is important. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that we can all get together and work on that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Fran. I couldn't agree with you more. Just from a mom's perspective and seeing how my kids' teachers have had such a profound impact on him. And he's only 7, but I mean, it's a no-brainer that teachers are literally so foundational, such a backbone to our society, and we have to do better, I think. I mean, I think we're on the right trajectory, but we need to continue to prioritize them and just continue to support them better in our state. And Fran, it's people like you who advocate for this and push for this, and we so appreciate you professionally and obviously personally here on WICC. Thank you so, so much. Fran Rabinowitz, again, Executive Director at the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents.